भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो 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 भगवते वासुदेवाय।
In Mangalarti this morning, and coming down after Mangalarti and finding, at least in the men's quarters, most of the devotees still sleeping. So I don't know if my saying anything will have any effect, but it seems that despite other good signs that there's some very deep rot of Maya in this temple, it's a very serious thing if for anyone to miss Mangalarti, let alone most of the temple. It's up to all of you that you can't progress properly in spiritual life, nor in preaching or anything, if you simply sleep during Mangalarti. And this is something that Prabhupada stressed again and again and again. He even said that if devotees don't go to Mangalarti, they should starve. So anyway, it's up to you what to do. We are here for this whole endeavor to make this temple. It's meant for spiritual life. It's meant for those who are serious. So serious means you don't sleep during Mangalarti. Otherwise, you don't have to live in the temple. You can live anywhere you like. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Text 5, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila E.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and Acharya of ISKCON. This verse discusses pure devotees of Krishna. As we were discussing yesterday, pure devotee generally means those who have no trace of material desires in their hearts, but are simply absorbed in a bond of love with Krishna. And pure devotee can also mean someone who has not attained to that perfectional stage yet, but is very seriously following the path by which he may attain to that stage. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. Anyabhila shita shunyam jnanaka madhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. He says that pure devotional service may be defined as the cultivation of devotional service in a favorable mood, being freed from all other desires, such as those advancement through karma, the process of fruitive activities, or jnana, mental speculation. Anukulyena krishna anushilanam. This means favorably cultivating devotional service. Even one who is favorably cultivating devotional service can be called a pure devotee. Favorable means that they very seriously desire to serve Krishna and to come to the perfectional stage. Please don't play. This is the first symptom of a devotee who is surrendered to Krishna. He accepts everything favorable for the service of Krishna. Concomitant with this is rejecting everything which is not favorable for the service of Krishna. So one who is very seriously cultivating devotional service, even though he may not have attained the pure platform fully, he is also called a pure devotee. Because it's understood that if he continues with this practice, doesn't deviate, doesn't make offenses, then he will attain the final goal in due course of time. Now, it may be said that, well, everyone deviates somewhat. The very fact that we're not fully pure means that at least our minds are prone to wander here and there, and we make offenses. We may not be very perfect in our, for instance, in our dealings with the devotees, or we may be careless in deity worship. In so many ways, we may make offenses. So therefore, the cultivation of devotional service is there. The process of sadhana bhakti is there, so that we may become gradually purified. But we get out as much as we put in. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yayata mang prapadyante tangs tathaiva bhajami aham. As much as people approach me, in that way I reciprocate with them. Now, it may be asked that if everyone is pure devotee in this movement, then how is it that so many don't remain steady on the path? There may be different reasons for this, but there are certainly reasons. It's not simply by chance. Prabhupada often said that Krishna consciousness is a science. Science means that you can predict the outcome. If you know the science, you can predict the outcome. Or if you manipulate in a certain way, you can expect a certain result. For instance, those who know the science of chemical engineering, they know how from oil so many different products can be produced. From crude oil, different kinds of fuels can be produced. Gasoline, kerosene, paraffin, so many different. From crude oil, so many different kinds of synthetic fibers and plastics can be produced. There are so many different kinds of plastics. Some are very hard, some softer. There are also different qualities of polythene for polythene bags. Nylon is used as nylon yarn and in so many different ways. So these different kinds of plastics are produced for different purposes from the same oil. A chemical engineer knows how to process the oil in different ways so that different kinds of plastics, fuels, and all kinds of synthetic substances are produced. So in the same way in Krishna consciousness, that if you follow certain principles, you'll get a certain result. You cannot expect the same result from following the principles and not following the principles. Now, our goal is to be pure devotees of Krishna, as described in this verse. But how to attain the goal, we have to follow the process. Of course, ultimately, the most essential ingredient is the mercy of Krishna, which is also expressed or transmitted through his actually pure devotees. But the process of sadhana is that by which a devotee attracts the mercy of Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada often explained, there are two ways to get a university degree or diploma. One is to go to college and go through the hard work of studying. Another is to get an honorary degree. But the honorary degree, that is a very rare thing. And even to get that, one must perform exceptionally in other spheres. It's not just given to anybody and everybody. So in other words, you can get your degree that ultimately depends upon the decision of the issuing authorities. But if you follow the process of attending the lectures, doing your homework, performing the austerities which are required, one who wants to study, he has to forego, at least to some extent, sensual pleasures such as going to parties and so on. So one who does that, he may attain his degree. He has to pass the exam and he has to prepare himself to pass that exam. So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, there's a process. The process is called sadhana bhakti. It's a simple process. But by following it, a person can become purified because the process of sadhana bhakti is based upon hearing and chanting about Krishna, which is the very cause of purification. So if we follow that, then we'll become purified. If we don't follow that, then what can we expect? We ask, well, why someone fell away? It must be because they weren't following. It must be because they were not following properly. They were doing something wrong. Otherwise, either they were not following sadhana bhakti properly, or they had become proud and were mistreating the devotees, or they had become puffed up and were making offenses. But if someone goes away from Krishna consciousness, it means because they haven't properly got the taste of Krishna consciousness. Now, this process of sadhana bhakti should not be minimized. We shouldn't think that, well, I can follow or not follow. It doesn't make any difference. It certainly does make a difference. At the very least, we can say that those who don't follow, for instance, those who don't go to Mangalati, they're committing offenses. One offense is not to follow the instruction of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada is very, very insistent that his disciples go to Mangalati. There are so many stories in this regard. Once Prabhupada, just before Mangalati, came in, turned the light on, and saw his sannyas disciple sleeping. So Prabhupada said, why aren't you going to Mangalati? So he made some excuse. I don't have any clean cloth. So Prabhupada, he saw his yesterday's cloth in the corner, took it, put it in the wash basin, wrang it out, threw it at him, said, put it on and go to Mangalati. Once I was told this, that Prabhupada was asked that, is there any circumstance under which we should not go to Mangalati? Prabhupada said, yes, death. Then you may not go. But actually that already is death. Sleeping is just like death. Devotees don't like to sleep. Especially we've invited the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with Nityananda. We have invited the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his brother, Nityananda. We've invited them here. So their habit is to rise early in the morning. They've come here so that we can worship them. So we are simply sleeping. You get up early in the morning. But they've only come to accept our service, which begins by rising early and worshiping them. So if we don't do that, then what kind of service is that? Why have we even invited the deities? See, this is a common syndrome. That deity worship is going on, But gradually we think, oh, it's such a drag. We've seen many families, they used to worship deities. But now they've stopped. You'll find in so many temples in India, there are so many Shalagram Shilas. Why? Why so many Shalagram Shilas? These were being worshipped in Brahmin families for many generations. So at some point in time, the members of the family think, this is simply a disturbance. Better we spend more time sleeping in the morning. So if they're not totally impious and don't use the Shalagram Shila as a paperweight, they may give to a temple that you're already doing puja, so you do for this also. So you'll see in some temples, they're doing the worship. They have a big bucket there. So they're bathing the Shalagram Shilas. They just throw some water and drain it out and throw out the Shilas again. Because they have no consciousness that this is God. They think simply a disturbance. That it's deity worship, simply a disturbance. So let it go on. It's all right. We can go to the temple sometimes. After all, deity worship is quite nice. Especially the prasadam. We like this part of deity worship. But all this business of rising early, that's not very nice. So we'll be pure devotees after 6 o'clock in the morning. And we'll very faithfully follow the path of deity worship, honoring prasadam. But Krishna won't be pleased with that. Nor will you make proper spiritual advancement. Then there will be revolutions. Then you will complain, I can't relate properly with the devotees. Then you will say, I'm feeling so lonely living in the ashram. Why are there problems? If you don't follow Krishna consciousness properly, how will there not be problems? If you don't follow the science of Krishna consciousness, if you don't follow the process properly, then you won't get the proper result. How can you expect Krishna's mercy if you don't even follow the most basic principles? And then everything will go to hell. And we'll blame, my guru is no good, ISKCON is no good. But you don't want to follow, that's the problem. Problem is not anywhere else. Otherwise, there is no problem in our Krishna conscious movement. We have the process of eternal bliss. Chanting, dancing, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna, living in the society of devotees. But living in the society of devotees means not just living for eating and sleeping and mating and defending. That is going on everywhere. We want to live with devotees so that we live together and become very, help each other to become strong in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's just a joint mess. Awesome. You know what this word mess means? Not all garbage. It's another meaning. It means mess in this sense means eating house. Like in the army, they call that. Joint mess. That we all come together to solve the eating problem. Prabhupada said this one time. Some devotees, they had rented one house, which was supposed to be a preaching center. So Prabhupada is asking, well, do you have Mangalarti? Do you rise by 4 o'clock? No, Prabhupada. We're working hard. We're doing a lot of preaching. Prabhupada said, it's just like a joint mess. Transcendental cheating, he called it. Just you go and collect money from the people saying that we are saintly people on the plea of being monks. Collect some funds. But just like the karmis, you're sleeping till late in the morning. Prabhupada said there are so many organizations like that all over the world. They claim to be religious, and on the basis of that, they collect funds. But transcendental cheating, because they're not. They're not following strictly the principles of spiritual life. So therefore, people lose their faith in such so-called saintly people. And the saintly people, because they're not actually acting in a saintly way, then gradually they do so many unsaintly things. And therefore we find so many scandals. Sannyasi opens a girls' school to help girls from poor families. Then after 20 years, some scandal is discovered. You can just guess what? What kind of scandal? So then people become disgusted. What kind of saintly people are these? That we're giving donations and we're respecting them, but they're worse than us. We don't do things like that. So it's not that just because we happen to have the greatest guru in the universe, namely Prabhupada, that we're not immune to these things. If we don't follow Prabhupada's instructions, then what's the meaning of even chanting Jai Prabhupada? Guru Mokka Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Oika Ana Koriya Mone Asha. We're singing this. What does this mean? Who can say? Guru Mokka Padma Vakya. The words from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. Chitete Koriya Oika. This is ornamental, poetic language. It means I make it one with my consciousness. Arna Koriha Mane Asha. I don't desire anything else. So what are these instructions? They're meant for our benefit. Why have a guru at all if you don't follow the instructions? Yeah. We take a guru because we understand that
We are weak. We don't know what is the proper path. And we take instructions and we follow with faith that by doing that we will be benefited. So Prabhupada's instructions for all devotees in the very first days of the movement, Prabhupada wrote a list of things all devotees should do. All initiated devotees must rise by 4 a.m. So it's a very basic principle. See, this is a very beautiful verse describing the wonderful transcendental relationship between Krishna and his pure devotees. It would be very nice to discuss this. This would be very pleasing. But it seems inappropriate if we can't even follow the most basic principles of sadhana bhakti. Then it would be superfluous to discuss the highest levels of devotional service. Let's start at the beginning. And maybe we're in this movement 5 years, 10 years, or whatever. That man was saying yesterday that someone may be 10 years in the movement and claiming himself so advanced. So it may be a fact that we may be so many years in this movement, but we still have to follow the basic principles. We're not so great Paramahamsas that we don't have to go to Mangalarti. And if you do become Paramahamsa, you'll be more enthusiastic to go. So that now I've become advanced, now I don't have to chant, I don't have to follow sadhana anymore. These are all transcendental ecstatic activities. But if we prefer sleeping, then it doesn't look like we've become Paramahamsa. Those who rise early and attend Mangalarti, they enjoy Brahmasukh, transcendental happiness. So sleeping right through, that's also one kind of happiness. That's called Mayasukh. Happiness of Maya. So these principles, let's remember the basic principles. And we may be discussing so many high things. Why don't we get back to the basics? What do you want? What is anyone here for? Why is anyone living in this temple? I would hope the reason is because we want to develop pure devotional service. So how are we going to do that? Well, there could be many answers to that question. One thing is, you're not going to make any advancement if you simply sleep during Mangalarti. You're just unnecessarily occupying space in the temple. If you don't feel like it, or you're too weak or whatever, then don't live in the temple. Otherwise, the whole standard of our movement will go down and down and down. And we'll have so many problems. We'll have illicit sex in the temples. We'll have stealing. We'll have so many things. People's consciousness is not purified. So please, we were talking yesterday about introspection. So I request everyone to ask yourself, why am I living in this temple? What am I here for? What is my goal? And if you no longer feel inspired to do what is necessary to become a pure devotee of Krishna, if you have a deep aversion to following the basic principles of Krishna consciousness, then please don't live in the temple. You can be a congregational member also. If you want to be a pure devotee of Krishna, if you want to make the endeavor to attain that position, then don't misuse the facilities of the temple. Rise early. Be present before Gaur Nitai early in the morning. Can we think that they're very happy if they see that we have come here? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda have very kindly appeared here, and they're giving shelter to so many people who have come to the service. And then they're waiting. The curtain is opened at Mangalarti, and they're looking to see who are there. Yes, Gaur Nitai are looking to see. And they see a big empty hall. Think they can be very happy that my servants, they're supposed to be serving me, but they're just sleeping. Is it not painful? They won't feel hurt. Krishna is also a person. He's not simply some doll we put food in front of before we fill our faces. He's not simply a doll we put food in front of before we fill our faces. He also has feelings. We're supposed to be developing love for Krishna. Krishna already has love for us that we don't appreciate. So just like in love, if one party doesn't reciprocate, then the other party feels hurt. So is Krishna not hurt when so many people, they all simply avoid coming to see him? Isn't it just like rejecting Krishna? Oh, we don't care. We'll see you in our own time. As if we are God and Krishna is our servant. That when I feel like it, I'll mercifully go and give my darshan to Krishna. It's round the other way. Krishna is rising early to give us his darshan. And we as the servant should be there to serve him and praise him. So if we take this very lightly and we don't think it's important, then we have a very perverted idea of what is Krishna consciousness. Krishna. We haven't understood the most basic principles. So you may think, well, it's not so important. Very important. It's a very, very bad sign when we come into the Mangalarti, and maybe 60-70% of the
temple residents are not there. So please consider this and do the needful. You don't have to have a big meeting. You just have to get up in the morning and go to Mangalarti. That's all. There's no question. How can we get up and go to Mangalarti? Just do it. That's all. How can we get the inspiration to go to Mangalarti? What's the question of inspiration? It's not a question, shall I go or shan't I go? You should just go. That's all. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So any question or comment, please? Can you say
it? He's asking about initiative to sleep outside the temple and do some serious service, important service, because he heard from one devotee that his devotee said that it is not so important whether you follow Sadhana or not. It is just external thing. The most important thing is to do service.
Sadhana is external? Hearing and chanting about Krishna is external? Then what is the... It's external. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come to teach? Hearing and chanting about Krishna is the most basic activity. Now, those who are not living in the temple, that's why I'm saying, if you can't follow so strictly, then you can live outside. Because it's understood that those who are living outside, they may have so many difficulties to follow such a strict sadhana program anyway. If you have a family to maintain and you have to work, and then the children are screaming all night, or your dog's barking all night, or something like this.
Not sure.
It might be very difficult to, of course, devotees don't keep dogs, but maybe their next door neighbors do. So it may be very difficult to follow these things very strictly. But still, you have to follow as strictly as possible. It's the Krishna consciousness is a science. The more you follow, the more benefit you get. And if you can't follow so strictly, that's your misfortune, but you can't say it's just the same as not following. That's why living in the temple is a great facility for those who can take advantage of this. But to say that sadhana is simply external, it's practically offensive to say such a thing. You think that simply by running around selling paintings or something, you're going to go back to Godhead? If you don't chant your rounds, if you don't have Mangalarti, if you don't study Bhagavatam, if you don't do all these things, how are you going to become purified? Service is also required. Sadhana is required. Service is required. But simply to do service and minimizing sadhana, then that means you didn't understand what is Krishna consciousness. That you could maybe call karma yoga. But it's not going to take you back to Godhead. You should be very careful if you hear such things.
Funny.
It's anti-devotional to try to encourage you not to perform sadhana. If he's supported by the temple, then he should follow the same. Leading means what? Prabhupada said leader means leading in hearing and chanting. That is leading. Nowadays in our movement, it's very popular to read all kinds of books about management. Prabhupada gave some very simple formulas for management. Although management's not simple, but Prabhupada gave some simple formulas. Prabhupada said that if all the devotees are rising early, chanting their rounds, fully engaged, attending the classes, and so on, then management will, he said, it'll be at your fingers' end. It means it'll be very easy. Because if the devotees are committed to following all these things, then they'll want to serve, they'll want to cooperate. Because these things, by following, we become happy. And the mad mind becomes pacified. But if we don't follow all these things, we can bring so many different formulas and dissolutions and revolutions and so many different things. But it doesn't matter what system you bring, no one will ever be satisfied. Satisfaction in Krishna consciousness doesn't come from different management formulas. It comes from hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that's the first thing. First thing a manager has to do is to manage to get himself to the temple programs. And if he can do that, then he can get the other devotees to come also. See, running the Krishna consciousness movement is not like running a factory or a political party. There's no, we're not offering anything material in return. Minimum material benefits. That means you get a little less than 1 meter by half a meter to sleep on. Food, clothing, all these things. But we're not offering career opportunities. We're not offering you a luxurious life. So we can't motivate people in the same way that materialistic people can.
See.
That you have to work and then you get your money and then you can spend it as you like for sense gratification. But we're asking everyone to be
fully engaged all the time, 7 days a week, no holidays. And that's possible only if people are inspired by the transcendental principle. So our movement, it works on transcendental. Now, our movement also works on following authority. But no one's going to want to follow an authority if they don't themselves follow the basic principles of spiritual life. They may follow, but they won't be satisfied to follow. If supposed to be leaders themselves don't follow the basic principles of spiritual life, then they won't command the respect of others. Devotees like to follow leaders because they feel that by following them, they'll be spiritually benefited, because that's all we've come for, is for spiritual benefit. So it's more important, it's important for everyone that they follow the principles of spiritual life, and most important for leaders. Otherwise, how can they lead? Well, you're asking it. You put your legs where? On the fence. Which fence? You mean with your legs up? Legs up in the air like this? Generally, well, even to sit in a chair, actually. Unless you're giving the class to sit on an asan. Even to sit like this, it's because the feet are pointing out. There may be we want devotees to come in here, so there may be some concession if you have some problem with your legs. Yeah, this is one point of Vaishnava etiquette, that we shouldn't have feet pointing here and there. Should be in. Even if you're sitting in a chair, if you want to be really to the point of etiquette, you can keep your legs inside. Anyway, that's a more fine point of etiquette. Let's get to the basic principles of Vaishnava behavior first, like going to Mangalarti. I remember in India, there was one devotee, supposed to be a devotee, who arrived, his morning program began at prasadam time, and he saw that they were serving eggplant. They said, oh, you shouldn't. This is Chaturmasya. You're not supposed to serve this. Actually, that rule is there, but this is a minor rule which Prabhupada didn't enforce. So he's very disturbed that the devotees are eating eggplant during Chaturmasya, but he himself didn't go to Mangalarti. He didn't go to any of the temple program. So let's start with the basics. Actually, we shouldn't have to stress these things. When you come to join the temple community, these things should be automatic. It's for everybody. You had a question.
Also about the excuses the timeline gives us in the moment, some false arguments and how to avoid them.
Did everyone hear the question?
This is the first part of the question.
Yeah, but did everyone hear it? I'll answer it. Well, that's what I was saying. There's no question how to go to Mangalarti. Just go, that's all. There's no discussion, shall I go or shall I not? If you think, shall I go or shall I not, then you'll think, no. If we leave any room in our mind to think that maybe I shan't go, then we won't go, because it's nice and comfortable in the bed. So there's no discussion. There's no, what excuse? Bucket of water. That's good treatment. Temple commander should have a bucket of water. It's very good. I recommend this. Seriously. I'm very serious. I'm not joking. Who doesn't rise in the morning? Give them a nice shower right in their sleeping bag. It's better they suffer that discomfort than the offense of not going to Mangalarti. But actually, this shouldn't be necessary. If devotees don't want to go, they don't want to rise early, as I say, they're living in the wrong place. And what's the second part of the question?
Can I say like this, there are so many people outside who live in the material world that do not serve Krishna on their feet. And we who came here, we are supposed to
listen.
Krishna has to wait for us.
That I already said. One thing, you see, if leaders don't follow all these things, then everyone will think that it's all right not to do it. But according to the leader of this movement, Srila Prabhupada, it's not. All right, I'll finish that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One other thing I'd like to comment, that these pictures here, actually, if they're put in frames, it looks very nice. It's not so first class, just sticking them up. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
He's a great Srila.